We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us again this morning as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us. We pray that the comfort which you have for us we may receive by your blessing into our hearts. And we ask that you strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones and also those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here in the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to Hebrews chapter 12. We're in verse 22, the third section of it. And during this section, the Holy Spirit is giving immense comfort to the persecuted Hebrews and also to us. Verse begins, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion," we've looked at that, "and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem," we've looked at that, and now this morning, "to an innumerable company of angels." Kind of set the stage a little bit. Going back to the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's comprehensive. Moving ahead a little bit in history, it happened in the little village of Dothan. The servant of Elisha had risen early in the morning to get a good start on the day. But very quickly, things took an unexpected turn. The Syrian army had made a night march. And when the servant stepped out the door, he saw a terrifying sight. The Syrian hosts of horses and chariots surrounded the little village. In fear, he cried out to Elisha, "Alas, my master! How shall we do?" Or, "What shall we do?" And the prophet replied, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Well, it sure didn't look like it. Then Elisha prayed to the Lord to open the eyes of the servant. And when the Lord did, the servant saw God's army, horses and chariots of fire surrounding and protecting Elisha, and also surrounding the Syrian army, by the way. This historical happening is a parable in action. As children of God and students of Scripture, we are very well aware of the truth that we have powerful enemies in the spirit world. And they are in high places. And the Holy Spirit tells us, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The enemies are powerful, and they are legion. There are many of them. Blessedly, there's another side to this coin. And there is great comfort even when we look at things on the lowest level. We're not looking at the power of God the Father this morning. We're not looking at the power of the Son, or the power of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at a much lower level. But the Lord God knows that we need it. By nature, we're fearful, and Scripture shows us how weak we are. And we need everything going for us we can get. And so down to the lowest level, this time, the holy angels. And what do we see? an innumerable company of angels. Consider Revelation 5, verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. In other words, they're innumerable. Here today in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, the Holy Spirit is telling us, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And this is on the lowest level, remember, only talking about angels. This morning we're going to take a little bit of look of angels as the Holy Spirit reveals things about them to us in Scripture. Wrap it up, as it were, and put a bow around it. A little summary. And we're going to start by talking about the wicked angels. There are wicked angels. These are the ones, the enemies that the Holy Spirit is talking about when he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the wicked angels. Scripture reveals to us some very important truths. Truth number one about the wicked angels, they were created beings. This is in very sharp contrast to Jesus Christ, who is eternal, and also was involved in the creation of the angels, by the way, which were all good when they were created. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The important truth here is that Jesus Christ has full control over every single thing that he has created. And this includes the wicked angels. When he gives them a command, they must obey him. And he controls them simply by the word of his mouth. And yet they are allowed to sometimes almost seem to run rampant and work a lot of wickedness in the world. Truth number two, there was a revolt against God led by Lucifer or Satan. And this revolt took place very, very early in history, undoubtedly during the first week of creation. Those mysteries surrounding all of this, we're shocked when we read in Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That comes to a shock to us. How did all this happen? Further on, there are two places in Scripture that give us a little more detail about this. The first place is Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. We learn a little bit about Lucifer here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, and now notice the word I will, the phrase I will over and over again. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be like God. That's what he tempted Eve with, remember, in the Garden of Eden. God's reply is, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The next section of Scripture that gives us more detail than Genesis is Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. and say unto him, before we get into that now, the king of Tyrus. The chapter started talking about the prince of Tyrus, a powerful heathen ruler, but a human one. Now it talks about the king of Tyrus, which is the one who's controlling the prince of Tyrus. This gets back to Lucifer again. There are some things said about him here that couldn't be said about any human being. So take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This tells us that when he was created, Lucifer was the most glorious of all the angels. He sealed up the sum. He was full of wisdom and he was full of beauty. Next verse, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now the human king of Tyrus was never in Eden, the garden of God, but Lucifer was, the serpent, he was. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Remember this again. Even the most powerful of the wicked angels is a created being. He is not eternal. That's important. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. This is a mystery we can't fathom. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, pride. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Another point, number three, about the wicked angels. They are legion in number. There are a lot of them. Some of them are in hell right now. Many of them still are not. Mark 5, verse 9. And he asked him, Jesus asked him, what is thy name? This is a man who was infested with a devil. And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Point number four about the wicked angels, they are powerful enemies to God's people. And we read the Ephesians passage before. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, etc. Number five, they inhabit the bodies of people. And they have degrees of power. Words of the Son of God in Matthew 12, beginning at verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he in, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Point number six. At times, at least, the wicked spirits control the weather. Think of Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. And when he was entered into a boat, a ship, his disciples followed him. And there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Remember that some of these disciples, at least, that Jesus chose, were what we would call commercial fishermen. These were men that had lived their whole lives out in the Sea of Galilee. They were experienced ones. They had been in the middle of storms before. They knew how to react, how to keep the boat afloat when the waves were high and the wind was blowing. But they'd never been in a storm like this one. You can see the devil here. Even the disciples of Jesus, the ones who were commercial fishermen, were afraid of this storm. It was an attempt of the wicked one to destroy the disciples and the Son of God along with them. A little bit later in the chapter, Jesus cast the devils out of the men of the Gadarenes, and behold, they cried out, saying, when Jesus approached them, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? A lot of people living in Jesus' day didn't have the slightest idea that he was the Son of God. But the wicked angels did. They knew him. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? As it so often happens in the Bible, we get tremendous comfort from going into the enemy camp and listen to what they're saying. And here the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They know they're going to be tormented. And this is something that you and I should remember. The enemy that we are fighting is a defeated enemy. The battle has already been won on the cross. It's only a matter of time. And they know it. They know it. Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him. They're not asking, they're not demanding, they're begging. The devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us or allow us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. This is a parable in action. Swine were unclean animals. When the evil spirits entered into the swine, they perished in the very waters that the devil tried to destroy the disciples in. And then the final point, number eight, about the wicked angels is they will finally be destroyed in hell. They won't be annihilated. They'll be destroyed. They'll suffer forever. Son of God tells us in Matthew 25, selected verses, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these wicked spirits who have followed Lucifer and went against the commands of God every single time that they could, will obey the last command. And the last command they will hear from the Son of God is this: Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And they will all obey. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And maybe on the last day when you and I are witnessing this, the Son of God will say to us what he said through Moses to the people when they were on the shores of the Red Sea and Pharaoh was bearing down upon them with his powerful army. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you this day. For thou wilt see the Pharaoh and his army no more forever. Take a good look at the enemy, because this is the last you're going to see of them. So much for the wicked angels, but they are active in the world, they are powerful. Now we come to the holy angels. These also were created. And the first point about them is very important. They are elect. They are elect. The verse that tells us this in plain language is 1 Timothy 5, verse 21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, these are the holy angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. There seems to me to be a reference to this also in John chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. As soon as they, and the context here is that Jesus has already risen from the dead, and he told his disciples to go into Galilee and he would meet them there. So one by one, they began gathering up at the Sea of Galilee. There were seven of them there at this point. They were waiting for the other disciples to come and for the Lord. And while they were waiting, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the other six with him said, we'll go also. So they went and were fishing. And they fished at night. They didn't catch anything. And they saw a man walking on the shore. And he called out to them and said, have you taken anything? And they said, no. And he said, cast your net on the other side of the boat and you will find. And they did that. And the net was full of fish. They were all great ones. And the net didn't break. And then as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So there's already fish on the fire. Now he's telling them to bring the fish you've caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. The number 153 in Scripture is the number of God's elect. And the truth here is that no elect will be lost. And the elect here are pictured as being fish, the elect people. And it would seem to me that the fish that were already there on the coals referred to the elect angels. That would seem to me. So there's an important thing that's kind of hidden here a little bit, but it comes out when you think about it. The power of evil is so great that looking at the human world, none of us would make it if it weren't for the truth that God chose us from before the foundation of the world, and He does everything to bring us to paradise. He does it all. It's an unconditional covenant. And it seems to me that the same is true of the angels. That none of the angels would have remained faithful to God had it not been for their election. So even with the holy angels, all of the power and all of the honor and all of the glory goes right back to where it belongs. God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This truth also shows the power of evil and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the angels are as powerful or more powerful, the holy ones, as the wicked ones are. And at least as far as the Holy Spirit goes, we have this precious promise that is what you and I are clinging to in our day and age when more than ever before, probably, or at least on a parallel with the days before the flood, the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn. The wickedness of man is becoming great in the earth, and evil is breaking out almost unbelievably. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 tells us this, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." How'd you do it? "Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." So the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, and He's greater than Satan and all his wicked ones put together. This is tremendously comforting. It was comforting to the Hebrews who are being persecuted, and is comforting to us in our own day. A couple of angels, or some angels, were given a command in the Garden of Eden, which is kind of interesting. I'm in Genesis 3, verses 22 and 24. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever." And Adam would have done that, and so would have Eve, if they'd have had the chance, and then they'd live forever as sinners in a sinful world. That would be terrible. "Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden," took Adam and Eve and evicted them, "to till the ground from whence he was taken," zeroing in on Adam, he's the head of creation. "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So these cherubims were holy angels, and the command that they were given by God was to keep the way of the tree of life from Adam and Eve. Make sure they don't get at it. So that was the first command that we know of that the angels were given. Keep Adam and Eve from coming back into the Garden of Eden and eating of the tree of life. Now we have a different relationship with them. They serve us, but we'll get that in a minute. Another point here is there are different kinds of angels. We've already looked at the cherubims in Genesis chapter 3. There are also angels called seraphims. We hear of them. For one example, in Isaiah 6, the opening verses, "In the day that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, or two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. There's a hymn in our hymn book that talks about this. I believe it's number 6, but I'm not real sure. There's also an archangel. And in our hymnal, I know we have the phrase, therefore with angels and archangels, angels in the plural. No, there are not many archangels. There's only one. One archangel. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The archangel, not an archangel. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We know the names of some of these angels. One of them is named Michael. Michael the Archangel. And I believe this is another name for Christ. Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael the Archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. Revelation 12, verse 7 tells us there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. So this is this great final battle. Michael, the archangel, fighting against Lucifer and his angels. We know the name of another angel, Gabriel. The word Gabriel is consisting of two words, Geber, which means man, and El, which means God. So the name of Gabriel means man-God, the man-God. This is the angel that appeared to Mary in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is the most blessed announcement. We've known it since the time we were little children, thank God. And it came from the words of Gabriel. Another blessed truth about these holy angels is that they now serve God's elect. And we looked at this already in Hebrews chapter 1 about 5 years ago. I'm beginning at verse 13. To which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? The apostle here is showing that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. And then in talking about these angels, he says, Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? So, the holy angels who are elect are glorifying and honoring God, and one of the main ways they're doing it is by serving God's elect children in this world. Sometimes they do it by announcing glad tidings. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he's going to undo what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. And those cherubims that were keeping Adam and Eve away from the Garden of Eden are going to allow us in there after that. And this angel came with good tidings. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That's what the angel said. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. So there's a multitude of angels here that finally joined in with the angel of the Lord who gave the good news to the shepherds. A little group of shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. Every Christian parent has been comforted beyond words by the words of Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, this is the Son of God talking, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. This is a most precious truth for every Christian parent, that our little ones are constantly being watched over and guarded by their guardian angels. And the guardian angels don't make mistakes and they don't sleep on the job. And they're with our children all the way through their life. Now the point that the Holy Spirit is making, and I'll remind you here, we're looking on the lowest level. We're not talking about the power of the Heavenly Father who knows all things, controls all things. We're not talking about His Son, Jesus Christ, who controls every single thing. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit that also controls everything. We're not talking about either one. We're talking on a lower level of the angels. And the angels are great in number compared to the wicked angels. The holy angels are called an innumerable company of angels. This is something I think most of us have been unaware of. I was never taught this. And in Revelation 5, verse 11 and following, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them, of these holy angels, was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, which I believe is the Holy Spirit's way of saying their number is a lot more than legion. They are innumerable. They are innumerable. And they were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Closing with this thought, amazingly, there seems to be an inverse relation with God's elect children and the elect angels. The elect angels are far, far more in number than the angels that fell, the wicked ones. But as far as human being goes, the wicked ones greatly outnumber God's elect children. which all the way through Scripture are talked about as being a little remnant. But sometimes precious things come in small packages. And God's elect, while they are very small in number compared to the children of the devil, God's elect are very precious. And that's one reason why he has innumerable holy angels serving us and protecting us. And the message here is really this. If you want to play the numbers game, fear not, for more are they that are with us than they that are with them. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for all the comfort you are giving us here in this book of Hebrews, where we are in the same position as the Hebrew people were then, small in number and despised and persecuted. But even on the lowest level, we have so much comfort, and we thank you for that. We need everything going for us we can get. And you have given us the great comfort here of knowing that these elect holy angels are created to serve us who are heirs of salvation. And we thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.